Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And as I have to emphasize, it's now or never. We're seeming to get closer and closer. I mean, in response to everybody that's panicking regarding this latest Supreme Court assignment or this appointee. I am telling you that the Supreme Court has already abandoned their responsibility of guarding the Constitution. They have been legislating and basically driving America with their own agenda, with the globalist agenda, moving us away from our constitutional republic. So what else do you want me to say? I mean, what else can we say? So, as you know, we actually have a very specific message that we want to provide to Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, one of the things I didn't talk about, because anybody that noticed, we were down on Tuesday, and I got a few comments, and so it's Feedback Friday, so this is when we kind of talk about this. We were hard down. I mean, Red State Talk Radio was down, and so, and it was interesting because when did it go down? It was actually broadcasting and up and operating just before my show. And so why did all of a sudden it go down? I just have to tell you that I don't believe in coincidences. It's kind of like when you take your car to the dealership and then all of a sudden they tear apart your dash, they work on your vents or your air conditioning or what have you. And then all of a sudden when you get the car back, you're having problems with your radio. Something that's in that dash, and they tell you, oh, well, those things go out all the time. And I go, you know what? It's not a coincidence. And so, and I've always proven that those coincidences are not a coincidence at all. That with, what we're dealing with was a direct relationship. Now, I don't know for sure, so I can't tell you that we have empirical data that it was a denial or a denial of a service, but the servers that we connect to were actually interrupted and brought down. And so just so you understand, it wasn't, and it was outside of Red State Talk Radio. I mean, Red State Talk Radio was completely down. They could not broadcast. So they couldn't even broadcast a rerun of my show. And, you know, in the business, in this specific business, if they can silence somebody, they believe, you know, because technically the average listener, if all of a sudden the show's not there, you know, people just, you know, because they're tuning in for entertainment. And so you're not tuning in for entertainment because I tell you right up front, I am not a conservative entertainer. And as a matter of fact, we'll get into some of that in the message as we lead into that message for Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, I'm bad with names. I'm actually having to read that. So anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and evidence-based solutions. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. If you are looking to actually read a paper that can give you hope, and folks, why is the Wyoming paper a paper that can give you hope? Because as it grows and as it can get its legs, because bottom line, it basically gets its legs through subscriptions. As it gets its leg, it can carry its message. And as long as it has the financing, that message can go forward. Now, here's the important thing. I have to emphasize this, and I'm carrying a frog with me today as well, but we have to recognize that in the state that you are in, you are far, far from where Wyoming is. Wyoming has a constitutional Republican Party. They have a huge movement trying to demand, and actually moving to demand, that the state legislature get in line. There is a huge disconnect unfortunately, because the people have not been attuned with the Republican Party. And so there's people that just, you know, they just keep voting Republican, but they don't realize that, because almost everybody in Wyoming is not happy with the Wyoming government. And they don't, they're not making the connection that, you know, maybe I ought to need to listen to the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is at direct odds with the state legislature. It's almost like there's a little civil war going on. And so you have to understand that if we can get Wyoming across the finish line, it will actually help your state, because now you will actually have a state that you can point to and you can actually start beating and using it, one, as a template, and two, as the guide and, you know, that beacon for your state legislatures, your counties, for you to start developing constitutional counties and moving your state towards that ultimate meeting of states where the states actually take back the Constitution. You know, I can't emphasize enough, whenever there's a question of what is constitutional, it needs to go to the states so that the states can decide. The federal government is not the final arbiters of anything. They have very specific roles and responsibilities. The Supreme Court can only have purview and jurisdiction over those things that arise under the Constitution, which is why I tell you that the Article 5 Convention is doomed. The day they execute it, the federal government will control it. Because why? It arises under the Constitution. And they are not, they're not playing around. They're playing for keeps, and they are going to make sure they control everything that they possibly, I mean, they're controlling things that they have no right to control, like your health care. As you know, we also have Timber Nation. We highly recommend that you, we endorse, we endorse Timber Nation. We just basically want you to go check it out. If you're looking for hardwood furnishing, support an American company with American lumber and hardwood, American hardwood. Check them out, timbernation.com. And we also have a huge endorsement for your organization to use Ad Local. Ad Local can provide you with the ISP services. They can do lots of things. They can help you with marketing campaigns and so forth, as well as your election campaigns. Anyway, I also want to let you know that we have a long overdue article, because I remember when we wrote the third article, The Unseen or The Unknown Teeth in the Constitution, I basically told you that we were going to have two more articles. Well, I'm working on that first article, and that first article is focused on the First Amendment petition. It's a detailed article that is going to kind of bring you up to snuff with this concept of the First Amendment petition and the consequences that go with it. So anyway, we're working, I say we, and I'm the only one doing it. So I am working on it, and I am trying to get this thing done so that we can actually give you some guidance and some details of what the First Amendment petition and kind of how to do this at a tactical level. Because bottom line, it is all about the bigger the pile of evidence, the harder it is to ignore. I mean, you know, when one person does something bad, there's, you know, and say, hey, this person did this one thing. Well, sometimes people overlook that. I mean, Bill Clinton smoked pot. A lot of people just overlook that. Sometimes when you come up with dirty laundry, you know, and they go, oh, well, that's just dirty laundry. I mean, that person's changed their lives around or what have you. But the First Amendment petition is completely different. And the reason we're diving into this right now and not getting into the message for Representative Green is because you have to start understanding that your First Amendment petitions, and I say petitions because you're going to have a laundry list, you're going to provide the people when those county commissioners, when those county supervisors are running for election, you're going to have a list of all of the petitions they ignored. This is not something that happened a long time ago with indiscretion of, you know, youth. This is not something that, you know, can be just put away. This is something that they're currently doing, and they're continually being duplicit, and they're continually being basically obstructionists and failing to abide by their oath of office. So this is why the First Amendment petition is so powerful, because now you can start mounting an attack by actually finding every little thing that they're doing that are violations. I mean, when it comes down to taking money for your road systems, and when they bring in money from the federal government for a roundabout in your county, you should be attacking them for that. They have no right. They'll say, oh, we don't have the money to do this. Well, stop spending money on crap that you shouldn't be spending money on. Why are you spending money on social services? That is not an enumerated power. That is not protecting our life or property. I mean, the basic services they continually ignore, like providing you with police and fire services, and with education, that comes with so many different strings. It's about time, folks, we actually start really disengaging and looking at not just alternative, but far superior ways and methodologies in executing government. And so getting them out of the business that they have no business in and getting them into doing the things that they're required to do is what we have to focus on, and that's what these petitions will do. When we come back, we're going to have this message for Representative Green. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I take a lot of heat from politicians, and actually, it's, you know, maybe it's not necessarily heat, maybe it's more cold shoulder, because it seems they don't like the fact that I am just so rigid on the Constitution. They don't like the fact that they have to be held to very specific standards, i.e., the letter of the law. The law is not ambiguous. The law is not something that is, you know, subjective. The law is the law. And the supreme law of the land is the supreme law of the land. It's that simple, folks. So, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're taking a lot of heat. You're actually been scrutinized, you've been excoriated, and you have been actually, I'll just say, personally attacked and unconstitutionally done so. That's what happens when tyrants take power. America, as you know, is not a monarchy. We do not have royalty. We do not have an aristocracy, elitist, or dictators to rule us. And that's the mentality and the type of people that you are dealing with in Congress. They believe they are above the law. They believe that they are royalty. They believe that they can dictate whatever they spew as the law. America is a Republican form of government, and I want to explain this to you. Forgive me if this insults you. Most people understand that a Republican form of government is a representative government. However, in American representatives, or our representation, we represent sovereigns, or our government, and the representatives within our government represent the sovereigns, which is why we have bicameral legislative bodies. Bicameral legislative bodies at the state and at the national level identifies that the people are recognized as a sovereign as well as the sub-element of government. What does that mean? That means that the states are to have representation in the Senate. And as a matter of fact, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, no state can lose its equal suffrage in the Senate without their consent. In other words, the 17th Amendment cannot and is not a legitimate amendment, taking away the representation and the equal suffrage of those states who rejected it. In other words, Utah and the other six states that never ratified the 17th Amendment are actually not required to follow it, because that is what the last sentence in Article 5 does. So I'm just trying to give you this understanding that a representative government in America is a representation of the sovereigns, not just we the people. If it was just we the people, then our representative government would be far more a democracy than it is a Republican form of government. Because the other side of the Republican form of government is it is ruled by law, that the base law that is founded upon the absolute principles that have been declared, both from the Declaration of Independence and all of our founding documents, that is what forged our Constitution in creating the supreme law of the land. So a representative government and the rule of law and a nation that is driven by the hard facts of law, not some whims and desires of the elitist aristocracies or royalty. We have to go by the letter of the law, which is why I started off with why a lot of politicians don't like talking to me, because I just seem so rigid on the Constitution. There is no ambiguity with our Constitution. Our Constitution is the supreme law of the land and not the dictates of tyrants. In other words, they can't make it up as they go along, which is what you have been suffering. Consequently, when it comes to our elections, there are very specific processes that must be followed in accordance with the Constitution. One such process is the formation of the Electoral College. Prior to the presidential election of 2020, 31 states violated the Constitution. This has been documented, and we have provided, when I say we, myself specifically, lots of Americans in tandem and in direct association with Bob Schultz and the We the People Foundation. We created and signed petitions that actually went to you, and on January 4th, 2021, you and all of Congress was given a First Amendment petition that clarified how the Electoral College was unconstitutionally formed and was a direct violation of the Constitution. Therefore, you were told that you must reject the Electoral College on January 6th. On January 6th, 2021, Congress locked down the Capitol, abridging the right of petition, or the right of the people to petition government for the redress of grievances. The Constitution is clear. Congress shall, they can make no law that abridges the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And though this may seem like a rerun, this must be repeated and repeated and repeated. That this means that Congress cannot limit the form of a petition, whether it be oral, written, or both. This means that Congress cannot limit when a person can petition them. This means that Congress, cannot limit its length or style. This means that Congress cannot limit the amount of time a person requires to orate their petition. This cannot limit, and Congress cannot limit the day when they come. If Congress is in session, they must receive it. Now, I understand that when they're actually operating in administrative form, like on January 6th, they may not be able to allow people to come right up and petition them, but they are still obligated. They are legally, Congress is legally obligated to receive it. You have all sorts of offices and employees that can, by proxy, receive the petitions of the people. And the Congress, you are legally obligated to respond. Therefore, these petitions that fell upon Congress's feet on the 4th of January required Congress to do their job and reject the Electoral College and execute the 12th Amendment. With that, the fact is that the Constitution has been violated and we now have an unconstitutionally seated president. Your 2022 campaign must be focused on correcting the constitutional crisis that Congress has created by violating January 6th of 2021 and accepting the Electoral College. Congress must tell America that the leadership at the time of January 6th deliberately violated the Constitution. Both Pelosi, Pence, and their henchmen, both the majorities and minorities, any person who was in leadership, who did not speak out in behalf of the Constitution and actually went with the status quo of allowing an unconstitutionally formed Electoral College to choose the president, well, then they are unfit and ineligible to serve any more in public service in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The reason why Congress had to reject the Electoral College was that 401 electors were unconstitutionally, or better yet, constitutionally ineligible because the states violated the manner in how they were chosen. This is a clear delineated power and responsibility that only the state legislatures can do. So consequently, Congress has created this constitutional crisis with this Biden regime that we have been suffering under. Since the Constitution does not allow an electoral college to be formed outside of the specified mode, and when this occurs, when the Electoral College is unable, for whatever reason, to choose a president, then in accordance with the 12th Amendment, Congress must go into chambers and the House must choose the president by delegation and the Senate must choose the vice president by individual vote. This did not occur on January 6th. Therefore, on the first day of session in 2023, The new leadership of Congress must call for a joint meeting and, in the body of the whole, declare their obligation to correct the crisis that the previous leadership has created. That all those, and I'm going to emphasize and repeat this, that all those who were in leadership in Congress who did not speak out, well, we'll repeat it when we come back because it's that important. Folks, and Representative Green, we will be back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. All those, let me repeat, all those who were in leadership at any level in Congress, whether they be the majority or minority, all in leadership and all who spoke out on January 6th, this is even including Ted Cruz. If they did not demand compliance to the Constitution and its codified processes of choosing the president and that they must reject the Electoral College, as we proved to you on the 4th of January, then they must be removed from public service immediately and banned for life from public service for executing rebellion against the Constitution on January 6th, 2021, in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We cannot take lightly the unconstitutional seating of a president. We cannot allow the rule of law to be marginalized one bit. And it's not about party. It's not about partisan. It is about living the law. There is no compromises to the law. As you know, as I started off with, we are a Republican form of government, which is why I specified that a Republican form of government is dictated. It is ran. Its foundation is the rule of law. Once the president has been constitutionally chosen. And so the process to do that is executing the 12th Amendment. And so once this new session of Congress in 2023 constitutionally chooses the president, whether that be Biden or whether that be Trump, they must do this. They cannot point to the fact that a popular vote and an unconstitutionally formed electoral college actually chose the president. So the next thing that Congress must then declare is a state of emergency. Now, you need to understand, here is your second issue that you need to ram through the eyes and hearts of these evil people who are insurrecting and rebelling against our Constitution. And that declaration would be in accordance with Article 4 of the Constitution, Section 4 of Article 4, that we have been under an invasion, and in accordance with Article 4, Section 4, the United States guarantees to each state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each from an invasion. Therefore, we have been under invasion, and it has been unconstitutionally orchestrated by public servants and political operatives for over 30 years. The Congress must abide by the supreme law of the land and protect the states from an invasion, and in accordance with Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, Congress must call forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrections, and to repel invasions. Therefore, to repel this current invasion and to remove the invaders who are living in our land, they must deploy the militia now to undo everything that all the further or the previous administrations have actually allowed to occur. A citizen, just to understand why immigration and citizenship is so sacred, a citizen is required to support and protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Our elected public servants are supposed to be our constitutional warriors, ensuring that the Constitution is complied to. Our Constitution is enumerated, delegating specific roles, responsibilities, and property, as well as powers, and those not granted to the federal government, they cannot meddle with, nor are there any general powers granted to the federal government. There is no allowance in the Constitution for political compromise to alter the powers delegated. The only allowance for political compromise are those things delegated within the Constitution, such as declaring war. You can compromise whether you declare war or not, but you cannot compromise whether you're going to make health care a constitutional matter or not. The only way to make health care, transportation, energy, education, the only way Congress can execute and have any power and utilize any money whatsoever in regards to these matters is to have the Constitution amended in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. It is that clear. Getting and having people understand what we need to do is critical, and you need to run a campaign that identifies these two key issues. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of the 2023 session of Congress to rectify and to get this nation back on the tracks it needs to be on if we are to survive this communist assault from the Biden administration and the progressives and the Supreme Court, who have all abdicated their responsibilities as constitutional warriors and constitutional servants of the people. And that concludes my message for you. Now, next week, folks, we are going to basically wrap up with the unorganized militia that needs to be created for every county. What we want to do is wrap up the committees. We're almost done with the committees. We've been kind of covering this, but I don't want to segment this on partial days like today. So we will wrap this up on Monday, and hopefully we can get through all of it on Monday. It all depends on how things go. But what we then want to cover, if we can get into this, is we want to get into the federal titles and really, where did these things come from and why do they have so many things within the titles? This basically, these federal titles is literally the children being able to make up the rules as they go along. This has been a complete abandoning of the constitutional process of what the federal government's enumerated powers are, what they can do, and what they cannot do. All of these titles need to be destroyed and gotten rid of. I mean, it's one thing to actually say, okay, these are constitutional laws, but it's another thing to actually start aggrandizing and making things that are not constitutional a part of their law and their system. This all goes back to the importance of republic review, where the states step in as the parties to the compact and force the federal government into full compliance. Now, once we get through the code of federal regulations or these federal titles, then what we need to do is we want to go through the, and I don't want to call it excruciating details, but we need to go through the campaign issues, not just what we gave Representative Green. But what we want to do is go through the campaign issues that matter to every person in every state. It's got to bother you that foreign companies and foreign nations are buying your land, your businesses, your resources. This is unconstitutional. The federal government has no authority to allow foreigners to be able to buy America. It is the antithesis of securing and protecting our interests. If you understand what I mean, America is not for sale. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows the federal government to sell America or sell out America. Okay? So just to be clear, we want to go through these issues so that we can go painstakingly go through these one at a time so you can actually start using these. And we're going to get these things up on the website as drafty, and I say drafty because they're still a work in progress, but at least it is something that people can point to and go, look, here are key issues that we need to talk about, and maybe you need to work through it because I don't have all of the language that goes through the details of these things. I've just they're just in bullet format. So in other words, I may just have something about foreign investments in buying land or state land and declaring. It's kind of like the CCC. Just as an example, the federal government has the CCC, which is our national food reserves, right? And Biden is talking about, tapping that open. Did you know that the food reserves is practically barren anyway? So everybody's thinking, oh, well, that's okay. We're going to be safe. No. Bush raided the CCC, and I don't think any president has made a point of actually restocking that. But more importantly, the federal government shouldn't be doing this. The states should be doing this. The states should be able to, acquire and develop emergency plans in being able to take care of their people. By allowing the states to do this, this actually gives the states the ability to actually become better stewards over their land and over their resources in serving their people instead of the federal government taking on a role, responsibility, and power it has no authority in the Constitution to do. It may be nice, it may be noble, but that's how governments are destroyed, as George Washington points out in his farewell address. So when we come back, we're going to kind of wrap up. We're going to get into Feedback Friday so that we can kind of close up some of the feedback that we've gotten over the past couple of weeks because some of it's still lingering out there. But anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so Feedback Friday. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to cover was from Mrs. Peer, P-E-R, P-E-E-R. Like two E's there. She wanted to know about the Convention of States because, actually, I haven't talked about this, but there have been four states this year alone that have voted for and have moved forward in petitioning the federal government, Congress, to form a convention of states, to actually form a constitutional convention. And so she wants to know why this is, you know, why there's such apprehension, because she points out, and obviously she's an advocate for this, she points out that it requires three-fourths of the states. Now, first off, the current Constitution is, it becomes liquefied with this new, let's call it this new convention moving forward, if they choose to rewrite. Now, actually, let's back up, because I already stated that the federal government has jurisdiction over all things within the Constitution, which means that Congress can start regulating precisely how this convention is going to convene. I don't care what the formulas, and when you listen to the John Birchers and when you listen to the Convention of State folks tell you, oh, well, this is how it's going to be. The states have control. The people going into the convention, they'll have control over this, because both of them are pointing to these insidious sides of, you know, we don't know who those delegates are going to be. I am going to tell you that if the federal government has already obtained control of your life, from healthcare, energy, and every other facet, why would you think that they're not going to, as this constitutional convention moves forward, if it moves forward, why would they not control this? Why would they not actually come in and seize full control and determine what they're going to do and how to do it? And that, why not actually have the full control over the propaganda of what needs to be done in convincing enough people
to move our Constitution into a completely new direction, to unencumber them, granting them the general powers that they have been seeking all along. I am telling you, folks, that the Constitutional Convention needs to be removed from the Constitution. Why is it that the John Birchers, Eagle Forum, and everybody else has failed to become an advocate of removing the convention option out of Article 5? Why? Maybe some of them don't understand that it is no longer necessary. Because as we understand the power and the role that the states possess, because I know I'm not answering your question, but the states have all the power to enforce the Constitution. The real question is, why is this huge drive of calling for a convention of states? And the lying, or the number one reason, the lying foundation that they are using to justify this constitutional convention is that the federal government is outside the boundaries and we must deal with it through a convention by amending the Constitution or changing it. Are you kidding me? There's no, the Constitution is not the problem. The only reason to amend the Constitution is, one, to grant a new power to the federal government or take a power away, or to actually fix a real problem with the Constitution, like removing the returning of slaves back to the slave states. We have the power to remove those things. The states could, or Congress could, easily remove and clean that up. That's the whole point of an amendment, is to remove that or to add something. But the whole point of a constitutional convention has nothing to do with really amending the Constitution. It has everything to do with rewriting. It has no ability to enforce the Constitution. The only way enforcement can occur, in other words, the only way to get the federal government back into the position that they're supposed to be in, outside of these overreach, getting them to get back within the framework of the Constitution, is interposition. Interposition, as spelled out by Madison, is really republic review. Republic review is just a modern-day terminology that places context to the states being the republic in reviewing and overseeing their constitution, in auditing, and then demanding the federal government get into compliance. Now, how do we get them into compliance? Because every public servant must abide by the Constitution, and every single one, even the Supreme Court, can be removed for violating or failing to support the Constitution in accordance with Section 3. See, nobody sees Section 3 as this huge sledgehammer that we have in forcing our public servants into compliance. The real problem, I think, that we face in America today isn't whether we have the moral character to do the right thing. It's whether we have the courage to demand the right thing be done. Because the problem is, some people like some of the unconstitutional government that they're getting. Some people like the little immorality, the little fringe benefits that they're getting from this unconstitutional government. Oh, well, you know, I'm making good money. It's giving me this opportunity to do things I could not do if the government wasn't doing these things. Folks, we have to pay the piper. And as a matter of fact, as the way, who's that brilliant economist that was Milton Friedman out of Chicago. Milton Friedman clearly stated that the elixir is far better than the outcome of not fixing the problem. Even though it may be a bitter pill to swallow, the outcome, and our, I'll just say, as we start getting on the mend and improving, our life will be exponentially better with government not controlling every facet of our lives. that will actually economically be able to be a boon because government will no longer be dictating how products are to be made. You'll actually be able to buy a toilet that can flush the poop down your pipe. You'll actually be able to buy products that actually serve you instead of making your life more miserable. Government is the problem. Reagan has told us this, we've heard this, and that was the whole point of the Revolutionary War. It has been the bane of our existence, government getting out of control. We have a system and a constitution that doesn't allow them to get out of control. The problem is that they convinced us that they could do these things, that these things were all within their powers, and they lied. So the fact is that why would we want to actually even consider anything, Mrs. Peer? Why would we want to do anything other than force the federal government into compliance first? The attitude must be not one amendment until you obtain full compliance. I would invite you to read the argument for Republic Review, as well as the process of how to do this. It's right on the front page, the home page of Reclaiming the Republic. Start at the top and read your way down till you get to the end of that page. You'll have seen everything that you need to other than the flow chart. Now, there's a link at the bottom to the flow chart if you want to kind of see the model or flow chart of how that works. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. Mr. Law, and as a matter of fact, he's not a lawyer, but Mr. Law is somebody I know. And how is it that we can get campaign contributions out to, you know, these candidates? Or what is it that the people need to start doing so that they can get contributions? Well, right now, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. Now, I will tell you that there are some problems with, like, the Constitution Party doesn't want to take contributions, or at least, and I don't know, this is a conversation I need to kind of have, but I don't believe that I think the Constitution Party themselves don't take contributions, but I don't think their candidates are required by their bylaws that they can't take business or corporate contributions. The problem is the heir of a parent that when a corporation buys you, then they own you. Well, you need to make it clear, because if you get corporations to pay you, you need to just specify, I'll take your money, but you will get no favors from me regarding any reciprocal benefits. In other words, my job is to ensure that you and everybody in your market space, anybody that you compete with, has equal footing and open competitiveness. We will not do anything. I will not do anything as a politician to try to give you an advantage or a market advantage above your competition. That is not my job. My job is to support the Constitution and make sure that all have an equal opportunity to succeed and fail. So some of the ways that we can actually start getting contributions out, and I would recommend, even though PayPal may take some of the money, one of the things I would probably recommend is a GoFundMe account. GoFundMe will also, and I think there's actually a political campaign on GoFundMe or some of this other, what's that called? Is that called social funding? I think it's a social funding process. Anyway, if we actually start looking at social funding or direct PayPal, just be really careful. The one thing I would highly advise people not to use is some of these cash pay apps, because once you've opened up a cash pay app, you can really get hurt financially. Folks, we're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.